This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
With Sean Keeler right now from the Denver Post. Sean, my man, always great catching up with you. There's a lot of great stuff to talk about, some negative stuff, but for the most part with our pro teams, some pretty exciting things, man. It's all good.
Let's lead with that. Let's lead with the negative.
It's always fun to lead with the negative stuff, Sean.
Good. I mean, it's a gilded age for Denver pro sports. I mean, Broncos, 8-2. How are they in for? They're 8-2 every week. It's like a cartoon. Every week of the last 6 weeks, I'd be like, 3-2. I don't know if they're that good. 4-2. I don't know if they're that good. 6-2. I don't know if they're that good. 8-2. I don't know if they're that good.
Yeah, still don't know.
It's going to be like 12-3. We're going to be like,
They're going to win the Super Bowl. We're going to be like, I still don't know if they're that good. Not going that far.
It's almost like a Drew Litton cartoon. You're just like, we just keep saying it, and it's like, well, prove us. They keep proving us wrong. Good on them. So, yeah, I had the split screen for Abs and Nugs last night on my YouTube TV because I could still actually watch both, which was great. And I'm just like, yeah, this is a golden age, you know. And then we've got the Paul D. Podesta and the Rockies. So everybody dance.
Well, and honestly, is. The optics of the Paul D. Podesta thing is—it's weird. Oh, let's take a guy that was with a bad football program and bring him back to baseball. But
let's get the guy who got Deshaun Watson.
Right. And was probably helpful in moving on from Baker Mayfield too. So yeah, that's neat. But all the things he's saying right now, it's nice to hear it. I don't know what it means, but it's just kind of like, yeah, I like the project. I like building teams up. I'm excited. You know, at least, I guess it could be worse. I don't know if it could be worse. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Again, this golden age, with the three good teams in town, we're going to start with the Rockies. So,
yeah.
let me give the Moffitts credit where it's due. They didn't stay in the family.
Yeah,
okay.
True.
That's, he got an outside voice. Okay, check mark, green, little green check mark. Good job. Okay, now, is this somebody up to speed? Is it out of the box, out of the family? Yes, check. Is it the most innovative hire you could have made for the Rockies, who are still kind of running MS-DOS? Yeah, maybe. I wrote about this a little last week. I kind of wonder if Dick thought he was hiring Jonah Hill and found out it was Paul by mistake.
Yeah.
And instantly he's like, that guy's a Colorado guy. I love Peter Brand in that movie. Wait, that's not him? We got the other guy? Yeah, no, it's the other. Never mind. That said, here's what it strikes me as. Here's where the Rockies can't stop being the Rockies. Okay, so yeah, we are going to complain in this time of great pro sports success. Are we just doing Breidich all over again?
Yeah, well,
maybe we're doing it better. We're doing it with like the Uber, like Breidich was D. Podesta 3.0 with more jerk thrown in. But we're gonna go back to that Ivy League baseball player formula, and that's the Rockies going, well, God, it wasn't great. I mean, but it was pretty good, wasn't it? And you go, yeah. So really, they're outside the box, but they're not outside their comfort zone. Are they, when you think about it?
Yeah, well, in this hire of, okay, I get it. He's the one of the fathers of analytics and such, but isn't everybody doing that now? Isn't everybody looking at, and I'm making it very basic, but isn't, from the movie Moneyball, the way we kind of Hollywooded that up, it's, oh, Jonah Hill just went and, looked up all the on-base percentages, and said, these guys get on base. Okay, great. Well, you and I could do that, Sean. And I'm belittling the position. I get that.
No, but the point stands that this is not someone, not only not cutting edge, he has been in the game for 10 or 11 years.
Correct.
So you have You have bought, congratulations, you have bought a state-of-the-art 2006 Subaru Forester. So what, you know, and they just, oh, look, it's got a satellite radio. It looks brand new, but it's the kind that's removable.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're at. And, I mean, it's better than the Yugo they've been driving, but it's still sort of a, I mean, they're just, God, the Rockies are just kind of this crazy uncle that you just want to get this right. They're a crazy uncle with money, and you want them to do well, and you want them to be healthy, and you want them to be rational, and they just can't stop being crazy. So if this minimizes the crazy, great. But I think because of who owns it and who runs it and what they've done, they don't get any benefit of the doubt. All they get is doubt. You don't get benefits when you're like 100 and 500 in your last 3 years. You don't get to do that.
Yeah, you don't go and, you don't expect fans to, you know, again, if you do your legwork and you go, okay, well, here's what he did, here's his past, all this stuff. But what most people look at is, oh, you got a guy to run baseball ops, but he was in football for the last 10 years. Oh, he was with the Cleveland Browns. They're like one of the jokes of the NFL. That's the easy stuff. And unfortunately, the Rockies have made it easy for us to just go, no, we're just going to look on the surface on this. And that's what you got right now.
Well, yeah. And what happens is you have people going, huh, why does he want to work for you?
Yeah.
And he says the right things. And,
yeah,
and my
sure.
colleague Patrick Saunders has been right on top of that, chasing him down in Vegas. And, you know, so he said, I want a challenge. Well, you've got one. I want to beat the Dodgers. Well, don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be saying it and doing it are so, so different. And I'm still very curious who broke off the talks with the other two published leaders. Because I don't think that was bunk. I think a lot of younger, more progressive candidates looked at this and, for what I've been told, said, oh, I can't, you know, can I hire this person? Can we staff up the analytics? Because if you're not going to staff up payroll, you need to staff up the minors in your analytics side. And they were told, maybe, and you couldn't get rid of X, Y, and Z. And that's going to be a deal breaker for a lot of people. And I maybe clearly wasn't for Paul, but I think that may say something about Paul, really. Because again, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. I mean,
again,
yeah.
The Browns. And that's, oh, you're bringing, okay, Dion, jerk, you were wrong. Well, maybe we'll see. You know, we can all bring up anybody's blights, but I I'm curious at least. It's not, boring. It's a little out there, and a little out there is interesting. But man, this is monumental. This is not even as good a job as it was 7-8 years ago. This is a lot harder than what Paul thinks it is. So I wish him well.
I do too. I'm with you on that for sure. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. All right, so the Avs stopped this. I mean, the Anaheim Ducks, like this young team that just was red hot. And look at the Avs, man. They're rolling. They look like the best team in hockey. Nathan MacKinnon's doing his thing. Gabriel Landeskog got on the board, got him a goal. You're seeing outstanding goalie play. Wedgewood gets the first one to get 10 wins. All that's great. But there's one thing that they're really bad at, and they continue to be bad at this. And you wrote about that in the Denver Post. You wonder when that's going to start rearing its ugly head. The power play situation for the Avs is just it's amazing how bad it is.
Yeah, I think they bumped up last night. They won 4-4, right? Marty Natchez,
yeah,
got a dirty one. You got it. That's where you do your dirty stuff. If you can make that work down low, I say 1-4. I think they're up to 17.9, 18.
Pretty
good.
They're teasing.
They're teasing at 18%. Look, I did a deep dive on this, and during morning skate, I asked some guys about it. And finally, Victor Olsson could not have been nicer for a guy I hadn't met before, super dude. So, you know, good on them for kind of owning it up. I think they're kind of fascinated as well from – because hockey players can be pretty big picture as well and objective about what they are and what they aren't. They went – here's how good the Avs are and how weird the Avs are. The Avs went to Edmonton. defending, you know, Edmonton. They win 9-1, and they go 0-7 in the PP. I mean, that takes some doing. That isn't a normal performance. I think they want to tweak. I think they look at this as a process in development, and they're going to experiment now while they know that their 5-on-5 is the best in the league. Let's be blunt, it pretty much is. That they can just kind of play around with it, tinker, and make this be kind of a proof of concept deal, and see when the going gets tough, they'll have to see what they are or what they can bring out in April, May, June when it counts, obviously. But yeah, they look at it as a good problem. I think Olsen said, and I don't know if it's in the column at DenverPost.com right now, but you can read some of the numbers because they are they're on pace to score something like 387 goals with a sub 18% power play conversion rate. I looked it up. In NHL history, only one other team has done that, and it was the 93 Canucks. Mm. Nobody else has done that profile where your 5-on-5 is so prolific and your special teams are so meh. But I think they feel they can be more aggressive the way that Martinatius was kind of a poacher goal there that he got down in the corner. That's good. And they think they can work a little bit better down low. Maybe they can get a little dirtier. And I think there is fallout from not having three Hall of Fame guys on that top PP. I know, oh, he's Patrick Ranton again. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Let's just be real about that. But if Natius can fulfill that as he did last night, great. That gets you going in the right direction. And Olsen said, yeah, we could shoot more. We could be more aggressive there. And maybe going forward is that confidence build. I think they look at it like we're a 300 hitter who's off to kind of a 2-for-40, back to baseball, who's off to a 2-for-40 start. We'll get there. We'll catch up. We'll make it work. But historically, the number I keep an eye on is 20%. And this is in the column there too. I think I found the last 10 Western Conference champions, whether they won the cup or not, 8 of them were at least a 20% power play conversion rate. Only 2 of the 10 who made the cup finals were below 20%. I think of the teams that were in the bottom 10 compared to those in the top 10, there were a lot of teams that were in the middle at PP. Again, if you're just kind of okay, you're okay. You'll probably be fine. But if you're bad, that's hard to win with because that does carry over in the postseason. And that's what this team is about. That's what the franchise is about. And we will see if they get it figured out in the next 4 months. Lord knows they have time. That's
yeah.
Good news, isn't it?
Well, what do you do? I mean, again, it's easy for me to sit here and go, well, just shoot more. Just take more shots. Does it seem like they're just trying to find the perfect shot so much? Because it is tempting, you know, when you have that advantage, just keep working the puck around. You have the opportunity to do that and complete a lot more of those passes and just work it around. Is it as simple as just take more of those shots?
Well, someone other than Nate or Kale has to step up because we're back to the Mikko thing. I mean, and I remembered this in the 22 postseason. Again, you've got to try to defend with four guys and maybe three Hall of Fame snipers, right? How's that going to go? Like, and they were excellent. I think they were 34-33% conversion rate in the cup-winning year in the playoffs. And I think they were 27-28% in the regular season. I mean, they were excellent because they just had too much talent. Like, you couldn't, with a man down, you couldn't defend all those guys. But now, if you have two Hall of Fame snipers, four defenders, what do? You cheat to Nate and you cheat to Kale, don't you? So I think it's incumbent on somebody like Marty, and it sounds like you pick on Nate just a lot. Yeah, I probably do, but that there has to be a third guy. And maybe that's Val. Maybe that's Lekkinen. Those guys are more screener types. Those are guys you stick in the crease. Gabe is a great crease player. I mean, maybe you have to kind of tweak personnel as well. But that's the difference. And I think about that and I laugh and I think, yeah, that's really hard to do. And they were able to capitalize on that. And you could say, well, they weren't as good. Actually, they've had pretty good postseason power plays with Mikko while he was here. It just suddenly was really, really noticeable in that Dallas series when he wasn't, among other things that were noticeable. So, yeah, shoot more. Yeah, shoot more, yeah. Play lower. I've had fans who are much more hockey savvy than me say they've got to crash more. They've got to be more aggressive down low. And I think it's incumbent on a third guy. And right now that would probably be Marty in that first line. And, you know, maybe, you know, when Colton gets back, he could be that guy for a second unit too. So they're good. Other thing Olofsson said to me, it stuck with me. He said, you know, I would rather be bad on the power play and good in 5-on-5 than reverse, because I don't know if you could fix a 5-on-5.
Yeah, it's true.
Because that's a roster. And he's right. It's a roster thing. Special teams, you can tweak and change combos and change guys and then land on something that sticks and figure that out. And so, yeah, they're, again, classic first world problems. They're in a good place. And the great thing is we're complaining. We're going to be complaining about seeding, about Nate for MVP, and then about what they've got to do to win a title, because they are clearly in that mode, and good on them. That's the point.
Yeah, it's actually really phenomenal. You got to find something. You can't be – I mean, right. Even the best teams, no matter what we're talking about here, you just simply can't be perfect in everything, but it's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, they're just a little better there. That's scary. Because, again, they were like 26, 27% with that cup team, and they're at, you know, they're at 18, pushing 18. I think if they just get to 20 with that much talent, that much depth, and presuming you have that much health, wow. We'll find something else. It'll be a, just so you know, there'll be something. There'll be a goalie controversy. Get ready. That's shaping up next. We'll create one if there isn't one. But again, I shake my head because they're just good problems. It's kind of like when I watch the Nuggets. I was like, oh, Cam Johnson's off to a terrible start.
Yeah, right.
And I go, and I kind of look at it and go, yeah. And I go, he is. Cam Johnson isn't as good a player as Michael Porter Jr. That's why you made that trade and why you were able to offload that contract. You weren't. We've talked about this, and this can't be stressed strongly enough. I don't think anyone wanted to get rid of, per se, well, I mean, they're fans who might, but I don't think anyone on the basketball side wanted to get rid of Michael Porter Jr., the player. What you needed to do was get rid of MPJ, the contract. And the fact that you were able to do that gives you Cam, it hurts you, and yeah, you downgrade in one spot. And then I like watching Tim Hardaway shoot. I like watching Valanciunas come off the bench. That's what that does. So, yeah, they're all little nicks that we could go at, but they're pretty big tanks going through right now, and it's fun to watch.
Sean, while we have you on the Broncos side of things, what are you hearing about J.K. Dobbins?
The tea leaves are not great. I've had colleagues who thought he was going to be IR at any minute, so I would just be prepared for that, and we can be you can be snippy and cynical, you know, like our good buddy Sean, and say, well, how would we know if he was hurt? Because if he wasn't active, because he never uses him in the second and fourth quarter anyway.
It's going to be like as if nothing changed.
Yeah, but you will notice that absence if he's not there, and you will notice it in a game that's, I mean, it's bigger for Kansas City. Let's be real. And it's so weird. The roles have kind of reversed. And because they have in the standings, you kind of don't know what you're going to get, except I'm pretty sure everybody thinks the Chiefs are going to have the desperation, and maybe the refs as well, to get this thing right. Because if the Chiefs are 5-5 and the Broncos are 9-2, that's done, isn't it?
Like, it feels like it.
It's over.
Yeah.
You haven't handed, but you have conceded the scepter. It's Sean Payton's. So the problem with J.K. and his health, even if he's active, is concerning, because you have to keep the ball away from them. It is clear, you know, we can argue defending Mahomes, you know, what the Vic method, you have to get rush four, flood the zone, you know, confuse him so that he thinks he has to throw but then has to make mistakes, or you don't blitz him because he'll find that guy. You know, the formula's kind of there. But the ultimate way to beat the Chiefs, it's for that guy to just not be on the field. And that's going to be harder to do if you don't have Dobbins. So as an objective observer, if I were a Broncos fan, I would be a little concerned about that, because I think the Chiefs have circled this one because they have to. I mean, they just have to, because if they do win, then it's a race. And then the networks get what they want, which is a pennant chase right to the end for the division, and Mahomes and yada yada, and Taylor Swift and all the rest of that garbage.
Well, and Andy Reid's pretty darn good after the bye too.
He is really good after the bye. So it's we started with not good. we're ending with not good, but hey.
You got to do
Nuggets
something.
Nuggets and abs, baby. It's great.
Sean, appreciate you as always, my man. Great stuff. Keep it rolling, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
See Sean Keeler, Denver Post, 41 minutes after the hour. Michael, breaking news from Shams over at ESPN for the Clippers. The Nuggets play the Clippers tonight. Bradley Beal will not play. He will not play the rest of the season. Los Angeles Clippers guard Bradley Beal has a fracture in his hip and will undergo season-ending surgery, sources tell ESPN. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.